Good morning, and welcome to Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilience and Happiness by Dr. Rick Hansen. This is your volunteer programmer, Barbara Felix, from the Sun Sounds Studios of Arizona. Rick Hansen, PhD, is a psychologist and New York Times best-selling author. He's been invited to speak at NASA, Oxford, Stanford, Harvard, and meditation centers worldwide. His books are available in 28 languages and include Making Great Relationships, Hardwiring Happiness, Just One Thing, and Mother Nurture. His work has been featured on the BBC, CBS, NPR, and other major media. And now, Just One Thing. Deep down, do you feel at ease? The practice. Pet the lizard. Why? I've always liked lizards. Growing up on the outskirts of Los Angeles, I played in the foothills near our home. Sometimes I'd catch a lizard and stroke its belly so it would relax in my hands, seeming to feel at ease. In my early 20s, I found a lizard one chilly morning in the mountains. It was torpid and still in the cold and let me pick it up. Concerned that it might be freezing to death, I placed it on the shoulder of my turtleneck, where it clung and occasionally moved about the rest of the day. There was like a wordless communication between us, in which the lizard seemed to feel that I wouldn't hurt it, and I felt it wouldn't scratch or bite me. After a few hours, I hardly knew it was there, and sometime in the afternoon it left without me realizing it. Now, years later, as I've learned more about how the brain evolved, my odd affinity for lizards has started making sense to me. To simplify a complex journey beginning about 600 million years ago, your brain has developed in three basic stages. Reptile, or brainstem, which is focused on avoiding harm. Mammal, or the limbic system, focused on approaching rewards. And primate, or cortex, focused on attaching to us. Of course, the brain is highly integrated, so these three key functions, avoiding, approaching, and attaching, are accomplished by all parts of the brain working together. Nonetheless, each function is particularly served by the region of the brain that first evolved to handle it. This fact has significant implications. For example, in terms of avoiding harm, the brainstem and the structures just on top of it are fast and relatively rigid. Neuroplasticity, which is the capacity of the brain to learn from experience by changing its structure, increases as you move up both the evolutionary ladder and the layered structures of the brain. Consequently, if you want to help yourself feel less concerned, uneasy, nervous, anxious, or traumatized, feelings and reactions that are highly affected by reptilian brainstem-related processes, then you need many, many repetitions of feeling safe, protected, and at ease to leave lasting traces in the brainstem and limbic structures that produce the first emotion, the most primal one of all, fear. Or to put it a little differently, your inner iguana needs lots of petting. How? To begin with, I found it helps me to appreciate how sacred that little lizard inside each one of us is. Lizards and early mammals emerging about 200 million years ago that were not continually uneasy and vigilant would fail the first test of life in the wild. Eat lunch, don't be lunch today. So be aware of the ongoing background trickle of anxiety in your mind, the subtle guarding and bracing with people and events as you move through your day. Then, again and again, try to relax some. Remind yourself that you are actually all right right now, and send soothing and calming down to the most ancient layers of your mind. Also, soothe your own body. Most of the signals coming into the brain originate inside the body, not from out there in the world. Therefore, as your body settles down, that sends feedback up to your brain that all is well, or at least not too bad. Take a deep breath and feel each part of it, noticing that you are basically okay and letting go of tension and anxiety as you exhale. Repeat as you like. Shift your posture, even right now as you read this, to a more comfortable position. As you do activities such as eating, walking, using the bathroom, or going to bed, keep bringing awareness to the fact that you are safe, that necessary things are getting done just fine, that you are alive and well. Throughout, keep taking in the good of these many moments of petting your inner lizard. Register the experience in your body of a softening, calming, opening. Savor it. Stay with it for 10, 20, 30 seconds in a row so that it can transfer to implicit memory. Some have likened the mind-brain to a kind of committee. Frankly, I think it's more like a jungle. We can't get rid of the critters in there. They're hardwired into the brain, but we can tame and guide them. Then, as the bumper sticker says, they wag more and bark less. Or relax, like a lizard at ease in the sun. You are listening to Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Resilience and Happiness by Dr. Rick Hansen, brought to you by Sun Sounds of Arizona. And here's another Just One Thing. Got cheese? The practice. Feed the mouse. Why? The previous Just One Thing, Pet the Lizard, was about how to soothe and calm yourself. This affects your brain as a whole, including its most ancient structures and the management of perhaps the first emotion of all, fear. This Just One Thing continues the series by focusing on how to help you feel rewarded, satisfied, and fulfilled. In a word, fed, which also engages your brain as a whole, with a particular focus on its subcortical regions that emerged mainly during the mammalian stage of evolution. When you feel fed, physically, emotionally, conceptually, and even spiritually, you naturally let go of longing, disappointment, frustration, and craving. The hungry heart gets a full meal. Goals are attained, and the striving for them relaxes. One feels lifted by life as it is. What a relief. Feeling fed also helps you to enjoy positive emotions, such as pleasure, contentment, accomplishment, ease, and worth. As Barbara Fredrickson and other researchers have shown, these good feelings reduce stress, help people bounce back from illness and loss, strengthen resilience, draw attention to the big picture, and build inner resources. And when your own cup runneth over, studies have found that you're more inclined to give to others. Feeling good helps you do good. Last, consider this matter in a larger context. Many of us live in an economy that emphasizes endless consumer demand and in a culture that emphasizes endless striving for success and status. Sure, enjoy a nice new sweater and pursue healthy ambitions. But it's also vitally important, both for ourselves and for the planet, whose resources we're devouring like kids gorging on cake, that we appreciate the many things we already have. So, so much. How? In everyday life, draw opportunities to feel fed. And as you do, really take in these experiences, weaving them into the fabric of your brain and being. For example, while eating, be aware of the food going into you, becoming part of you. Take pleasure in eating and know that you are getting enough. While breathing, know that you are getting all of the oxygen you need. Absorb sights and sounds, smells and touches. Open to a sense of how these benefit you. For instance, recognize that the seeing of a green light, a passage in a book, or a flower is good for you. Receive the warmth and help of other people, which comes in many ways, including compassion, kindness, humor, practical aid, and useful information. Get a sense of being supported by the natural world, by the ground you walk on, by the sunlight and water, by plants and animals, by the universe itself. Feel protected, enabled, and delighted by human craft, ranging from the wheel to the Hubble telescope, with things like glass, paper, refrigerators, the internet, and painkillers in between. Be aware of money coming to you, whether it's what you're earning hour by hour or project by project, or the financial support of others, probably in a frame in which you are supporting them in other ways. Notice the accomplishment of goals, particularly little ones like washing a dish, making it to work, or pushing send on an email. Register the sense of an aim attained and help yourself feel at least a little rewarded. Appreciate how even difficult experiences are bringing good things to you. For example, even though exercise can be uncomfortable, it feeds your muscles, immune system, and heart. Right now, having listened to this list just above, let yourself be fed by knowing that many things can feed you. Then, from time to time, such as at meals or just before sleep, take a moment to appreciate some of what you've already received. Consider the food you've taken in, the things you've gotten done, the material well-being you do have, the love that's come your way. Sure, we've all sometimes had to slurp up a thin soup. But to put these shortfalls in perspective, take a moment to consider how little so many people worldwide have, a billion of whom will go to bed hungry tonight. As you register this sense of being fed in one way or another, help it to sink down into yourself. Imagine a little furry part of you that's nibbling away at all this food, chewing and swallowing from a huge, abundant pile of goodies that's greater than anyone, mouse or human, can ever consume. Take your time with the felt sense of absorbing, internalizing, and digesting. There's more than enough. Let this knowing sink in again and again. Turn as well into the present, the only time that we are ever truly fed. In the past, there may not have been enough. In the future, there may not be enough. But right now, in what the Buddhist teacher Thich Nhat Hanh calls pure land of this moment, most of us, most of the time, are buoyed up by so many blessings. Falling open and into the now, being now, simply being fed by being itself. You are listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona, bringing you just one thing, simple practices for happiness and resilience by Dr. Rick Hansen. Longing for love? The practice. Hug the monkey. Why? The first just one thing in this series, Pet the Lizard, was about how to soothe the most ancient structures of the brain, the ones that manage the first emotion of all, fear. The next one, Feed the Mouse, addressed how to help early mammalian neural systems feel rewarded and fulfilled. This just one thing is about developing a strong sense of being included and loved. In ancient times, membership in a band was critical to survival. Exile was a death sentence in the Serengeti. Today, feeling understood, valued, and cherished may not be a life and death matter, but it certainly affects one's happiness and effectiveness. Unfortunately, many of us have encountered significant shortfalls of incoming empathy, recognition, and nurturance, or experienced wounds of abandonment, rejection, abuse, dismissal, or shaming. Therefore, both to satisfy an innate human need for connection and to remedy old pain, it's important to hug the monkey. An admittedly goofy phrase, inside yourself and thus absorb in one form or another that most fundamental human sustenance, love. How? Try to routinely get a basic sense of feeling cared about. Basically, imagine being in the presence of someone you know wishes you well. It could be a human, pet, or spiritual being, and in your life today or from your past. The relationship doesn't need to be perfect as long as you matter to this person in some way, such as liking, appreciating, or loving you. Then, based on the fact that this person does care about you, open to feeling cared about in your body, heart, and mind. Savor this experience and really take it in. Help it sink down into you, all the way down into young, tender layers of your psyche, and really far down into those ancient primate parts in you and everyone else that desperately need to feel bonded with others, included in the band, recognized and valued. Next, get a sense of your own caring nature. Think of someone you naturally care for and explore what caring feels like in your body, emotions, thoughts, and inclinations toward action. In the same way, explore related experiences such as being warm, friendly, affectionate, nurturing, encouraging, protective, acknowledging, or loving. Here too, really know and take in the sense of what it is like for you to hug the monkey in other people. Now imagine a caring committee inside yourself that is involved with caring both for others and for yourself. My own committee includes the plump fairy godmother in Sleeping Beauty, an internalized sense of my parents and others who've loved me, spiritual teachers, Gandalf, and tough but kind coaches on my journey through life. Who or what is on your own committee? And how powerful is this committee in terms of caring for you compared to other forces inside your own mind? Since the brain is a giant network with many nodes, the psyche has many parts. These parts often coalesce into three well-known clusters: inner child, critical parent, nurturing parent. Another way of describing these three clusters is vulnerable self, attacker, and protector. In most people, the inner nurturer, protector, encourager is much weaker than the inner critic, pusher, attacker. So we need to build up the caring committee by frequently taking in experiences of feeling cared about, and then to call on and listen to this committee. So, get a sense of parts within you that want to feel seen, included, appreciated, wanted, respected, liked, cherished, and loved. Everyone has these parts. They often feel young, soft, or vulnerable. As you are open to hearing from them, notice any dismissal of them or minimizing of their needs or even disdain or shaming. Ask your caring committee to stick up for these parts and to tell them their longings are normal and healthy. Imagine your caring committee soothing very young parts of yourself, praising and delighting in older parts of you, offering perspective and wisdom about tough experiences you've had, reminding you of your truly good qualities, pulling for the expression of the best in you, hugging you, hugging those soft, longing parts inside you, giving them what they need, and feeling down to the furry, soft, little sweet monkey inside you and every human being, holding and loving and hugging it. And meanwhile, your young, yearning, vulnerable, or bruised parts can feel that they are receiving what they've always needed, what everyone needs: recognition, inclusion, respect, and love. You've been listening to Just One Thing, Simple Practices for Happiness and Resilience by Dr. Rick Hansen, brought to you by Sun Sounds of Arizona. We are so busy these days that it's great to have just one thing to focus on, a simple theme to reflect on and be inspired by. These practices are grounded in brain science, positive psychology, and contemplative training. They're simple and easy to do, and they produce powerful results. This is your volunteer programmer, Barbara Felix, thanking you so much for listening today, and I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your day. And now stay tuned for more interesting programming coming your way from Sun Sounds of Arizona next.